Blog Talk Radio.
Self-respect, intellect, increasing our knowledge to keep ourselves in check.
Positivity is all we need. Together we will
GQMind. You can inbox me through Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GQMind. You can tweet me at RC44, or if you're in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area, you can call 240-778-5219 to schedule your next appointment. Once again, the March Madness has begun, and Strength of Mind by Rod is ready to service all the massage wellness needs for March Madness. 240-778-5219. Like I just said, this is the time for March Madness. And what we're doing on both shows, between the TV show and Love Talk, we're going to talk about the madness. And the madness has begun. Now, most people know when it comes down to March Madness, people think about brackets, people think about section, people think about trying to find that one school or that one institution that you feel will be the one that's going to take it this year. Now, a lot of times that has a good positive vibe to it, and a lot of times that has a vibe where people go by the affiliations that they have. And when you think about the incident that's been going on in Oklahoma, University of Oklahoma, Sigma Alpha Epsilon fraternity, and their fraternal organization, they're a solid group that is well known across the country. They are a fraternity of privilege. They're a fraternity of elitism. And a lot of people who defend SAE defend them because of the fact that they are representative of the old white way when you talk about Broadway. In essence, they're a definitive nature of the elite, privileged, overhyped aspect of our country. There's been numerous politicians, congressmen and women, even a couple of presidents were affiliated with SAE. So what we want to do, we want to talk about a little bit about SAE. We want to talk a little bit about the particular incident that happened. And I'm actually actually curious about those who pledged a fraternal or sorority organization to let me know what you feel about this particular topic. Do you feel that SAE should have been suspended or expelled from school? And what do you feel that the future comes with SAE? And the phone number is 347-850-1228. Once again, thank you for listening each and every week. We had a couple of weeks off to try to really determine the true show that we wanted to do. So this is the one that we want to do, talking about fraternity, talking about Greek life, and really setting off the purpose for the madness, which is the madness that is March. March is mad because everything that goes on in life in general, March is that transitionary period. And we're seeing that transition right now with the way University of Oklahoma is handling SAE. There's two sides to this story on how they handle it. One, people look at the swift and decisive nature of the president of the University of Oklahoma and can say, wow, this, in essence and in the scope of schools and organizations trying to handle racism, was by far the most in-depth and understanding concepts of how to discipline somebody that I've ever seen. Within 48 hours, the school was basically alerted that FAE would be disbanded, that the organization would no longer have a facility on the building, that those involved were immediately expelled from the school. And this is something that you never, and I'm not a person that likes to say never or always, but this year was one of the rare occasions, if possible, because it just seemed like it's virtually impossible that there would be a free range or that would be a farm that would condone, that would endorse the code of conduct that the teacher has done. Then you look on the flip side. You look on the flip side in regards to how people feel about their fraternities. You know, FAE is probably not the only, probably not the first or the last fraternity to say certain things like this. There's 8 or 9 different male fraternities and about 11 or 12 female sororities throughout the country, and I'm talking about Caucasian ones, that may have been brought up like this. People don't want to hear that, but you got to understand that particular song with the statements and the lyrics that they were mentioning, it seemed like that would not be anything modern. So that means that this has been going on for probably several generations. Where it comes down, they learn this chant, there will never be a nigga SAE, you can hang me from the tree, but they'll never be with me. That's just amateurish. It is shameful. And it is just ridiculous how one university claims they never heard this. And two, how certain people are saying that's First Amendment rights. Now, for those who do not understand the First Amendment, First Amendment is supposed to be about freedom of speech. And there's freedom of speech on the grounds of being a citizen of this country, being involved in this country, you should be able to freely and openly communicate your opinions, be it positive or negative, on the government, on society, on your community, on your neighborhood. You're supposed to be able to just openly go onto the street and say, I don't like so-and-so. I think the food is nasty. I think the person's doing a bad job governing our community. You are legally able to do that, unless, and this is what people forget when it comes down to the First Amendment, unless A, the organization finds that you're putting people in harm's way, and B, the conduct is detrimental to the organization. Now, in a public place where I said before, if somebody standing on the street corner says, I hate McDonald's, of course, yes, it might be detrimental. That might help to understand where the person's coming from, but that's not illegal. When you are a student on a university or a student anywhere, I can take my children, for example. You're a student in high school, you're a student in elementary school. They have certain guidelines and bylaws that you have to follow. There's code of conduct rules that you're supposed to follow when you are a student at that, and most of the time, I cannot speak for each and every school, of course, but majority of schools have a code of conduct rule that specifically mentions that you are not supposed to say certain things derogatory, you're not supposed to act on certain derogatory actions that you may have posted online, and you're supposed to be mindful of those around you when you're making your comments. Most elementary school, middle school, high school, university has a code of conduct that goes along that vein. So, looking at the Sigma Alpha Epsilon fraternity, I say sorority, but, you know, you take that as you want. But looking at the Sigma Alpha Epsilon fraternity, they violated so many of the code of conduct rules that the athletic director, actually, Heinzfeld, was pretty lenient on them. Most of them got about a couple of years, you know, suspended sentence because, you know, they're students or they were students at a certain point in time. So this is where the gray area comes in. The gray area comes in because of the fact that people really hang on to the First Amendment as if it's standard, as if it's, you know, looked frowned upon and the people can't walk. However, most of the incidents that happen on that particular side when it comes down to the reported incidents, it is from the fraternity and people in fraternity being careless, being reckless. You know, popping a tire from driving recklessly, flat tires, oil and chamber problems, a lot of times come from the just a lack of structure, lack of organization. And this all feeds into the privilege aspects of this fraternity. They are an elitist group. They're in a group that feels like they have owned and ran colleges, universities for decades, dating all the way back to the late 1800s. But they have a strong history. Now, sometimes they do good for the community. Sometimes they feel like they can do things better for themselves. So, First Amendment, when it comes down to free speech, First Amendment, when it comes down to expression, be mindful that this conduct is detrimental to others on campus. You know, you have students that have missed their mistakes at school because of the traumatization of this organization. You have students that are constantly protesting these events and different activities that have been going on. And now they're fed up because of the point that they feel their voices aren't held. So you can't, as an organization, promote free speech for one, but limit free speech for the other. And this is the dilemma that America has overall as a country. You know, America feels like there are certain cliques and certain groups and certain organizations that are privileged. So what they do, they make it difficult for other groups in the country to communicate. When you do that, of course, that creates tension, creates an imbalance, creates a sense of feeling that, you know, we have to fight to belong. So this is what Sigma Alpha Epsilon actually brought to the table. And they want the first fraternity or sorority to do that. They're not going to be the last fraternity or sorority to do that. For people to say, oh, I'm shocked and amazed that a university organization will do that. No. That's the thing that we have to get around. First thing, this is not a post-racial society. What is post-racial? Is post-racial being able to go to a black supermarket in the white neighborhood? Is finding that, is it finding that new school that has a few black kids in it? That's where we have gone in this country. We're going to a point where people are just satisfied with the status quo. Like, oh yeah, you know, they did that, that was really bad, but, you know, didn't affect me too much, so I'm just going to brush it off. That is the most dangerous thing to do. Now, you take it to a point where people feel that the emotions of this particular incident is overblown. And why is it overblown? That is a very significant question, and that's where I feel that the media coverage has manipulated certain aspects of this incident. A lot of times I feel that, you know, they they're promoting this incident to increase the tensions. You know, things were coming down at Ferguson. People have been talking too much about Trayvon Martin, things like that. So it seems like the media was trying to pump up a little bit this case more so than normal, to make it feel like the people are shocked and amazed about what SAE was saying. I mean, no surprise, no shock, no amazement in those chants. And neither did people in the fraternal organization. You have men, women that are saying, yes, it happens. Boys will be boys of mentality. So, what do you think when you go and say a boy will be boys mentality? Basically, what that is saying to these 18, 19, 20-year-old children is that, okay, we're going to take you up anyway, we're going to brush it off, and you're still going to continue to be successful. Eugene Robinson did a really great job. Eugene Robinson the other day talked on the Washington Post in regards to this particular case, talking about how people feel like this is brand new, how people feel like this hasn't happened before, but there are so many incidents that this happened for so long, and people who feel like it's a post-racial society. Thing is, what happens, and this is G. Robinson was saying, what happens if these people were bosses or managers at a job? Do you feel that they would hire a person of color based on what they're saying? No. If person of color was going for a loan and these people were the president of a bank, do you feel like they would bring an advantage to that person of color? No. What if this person was a student at school and they're teaching the children? Because a lot of times these privileged Caucasian people, they go to the inner city school to feel this sense of, you know, blindsidedism and white privilege, and they go to the school to teach, and then they are manipulating the minds of young children. That's where the danger comes from SAE. That's where the danger comes from, this type of attitude that people have towards minorities, so-called minority people of color. If they feel that they can be on a bus and just openly say these words, you know that's very hateful. And that can have a long-term impact on our community. Once again, 347-850-1228. Let me know what you think about this particular topic and see what you have in mind about, is this a horrible thing? Is there something that needs to be changed? Is there long-lasting effects that things like this from a fraternity have on our community? And I believe we have a caller on the air. Caller, you're on the air.
Okay. What was it that these people were saying? I heard a little bit about this case, but I don't know as much about it as my curiosity is making me seek.
Okay. Overall, basically, the Sigma Alpha Epsilon fraternity, they were on the bus, and they were having some sort of engagement, and they were chanting what, you know, basically racial chants. About, you know, basically saying there will never be an N-word, S-A-E. You can hang up from a tree, but they will never be with me. So that's where the University of Oklahoma said they had to step in to immediately remove the fraternity from the school. So do you feel
that
it was fair for the university?
Yeah, I heard that the president acted very, very quickly. And I just wanted to know what the boys were saying. Okay. Well, if it was a governmental action that was taken against the boys, I wouldn't like it, okay? Because I believe in freedom of speech, no matter how much it hurts other people. But since it was done at a university, and I don't know if the university has a policy against this type of bigotry or expression of racism, but being that it's a private institution, they can do whatever they want. So for them to ban the fraternity, I don't have a problem with it.
Okay, well, definitely thank you for that particular comment. And where are you calling from, sir?
Montana.
From Montana. Oh,
mm-hmm.
Thank you very much for that, because because that is that's really one of the main aspects. Like you said, if it's coming from a public institution or a private institution, the code of conduct is very essential to making the ultimate decision in whether this should be more focused on directly. Say, for example, if the school was stepping out of bounds of the First Amendment rights, or if they have a code of conduct issue. So that's something that will be discussed more so in court. Now I agree that the fraternity, the whole fraternal organization in general, should not be punished. I'm sure that there are numerous chapters of this organization that are upstanding citizens that are doing the right things. But when you hear one of the gentlemen that was on the tape apologizing and saying that this chance was taught to them, that's where the question remains. Was this taught, you know, recently? Was this a chance that was made from a person, you know, that might have been in the organization 5-6 years ago? Or was this a long-standing chant that's been done with the organization for a long time? And based on the lyrics of this song, you know, there will never be another N-word, S-A-E, you can hang from a tree, but never be with me. It sounds like it was more from a Jim Crow era. And if it's from a Jim Crow era, that means for 50, 60, 70-plus years, this was taught continuously from, you know, from the basis of the organization, from probably the president of the organization from back in the 30s, 40s, 50s, that was completely taught. And this is where the conflict and the concept of this particular statement comes from. You know, what is there to free speech? What limit is there when it comes down to the First Amendment rights? The, you know, the aspect of the First Amendment is, like, say, for example, I can have this radio show, and I can be on this radio show, and I can voice my opinion on certain things. I can say X, Y, and Z is incorrect. I feel that people shouldn't be doing this. People shouldn't be doing that. We, you know, constantly listen to shows like this all the time on CNN, on MSNBC, on Fox News, and they voice their opinion, and love it or hate it, they have the right to say that. People don't like Sean Hannity. People don't like Al Sharpton. People, you know, don't like listening to, you know, to Rush Limbaugh. But they all have the right to say what they want to say. If you don't agree with them, you can either call in and say, I agree with you, I disagree with you. You have the right to, you know, to not even watch their particular show. And that's where the First Amendment rights are. That's what the First Amendment rights abide, because the true meaning of First Amendment, saying that, you know, I have the right to voice my opinion. And shows like my show and shows like other shows are about opinion. However, when you are representing an organization, you are representing a company, you are representing a school, an institution, there are certain codes of conduct that have to be honored. And if they're not honored, they have the right to eliminate you from that particular organization, that particular institution. Case in point, you look at the gentleman that was fired from Univision because he made comments about the First Lady. Now, this is where, you know, First Amendment rights can be kind of skewed, because the fact that he was talking, if people don't know this particular case, he was talking about this artist that puts himself in certain images. He, you know, this artist, he takes pictures of himself as certain different celebrities. So this particular artist did a portrait of himself as if he was Michelle Obama. Now, the reporter, the commentator on Univision, which is a Spanish-speaking channel, he looked at the particular picture and he made a comment referencing the artist as looking like he's from one age from Planet Apes. People took that as the fact that he was calling Michelle Obama an ape, one from Planet Apes, was immediately removed from his position. Now, of course, he has apologized indirectly, saying that it was the First Lady's fault for this particular topic, but, you know, for his firing. But in that case, that's where some of the issues where the First Amendment rights can come into play, because of the fact that, you know, he was voicing his opinion on a particular artist, and maybe it was misconstrued as if he was talking about the First Lady. You know, there's a lot of reporters may mention things indirectly that might come across wrong. I mean, I know I've done it numerous times. So, but that's where voicing your opinion should be covered. But a fraternal organization should be punished. Now, punishment, yes, the kids, I want to say children, because these 19, 20, 20-year-old grown men that are aware of what they're saying, yes, should they be suspended? Yes. Should they possibly be expelled? Possibly. No, should the whole organization be reprimanded? That is the question that will have to be answered over the next few weeks to see if this is just an isolated incident. Is this an incident that is just solely a part of the University of Oklahoma, or if this is a longstanding racist and offensive statements that have been passed down through the Nashville chapter. And there's a couple of different schools that are focusing on this as well to see if SAE is just a whole organization that's built off of racism, or if this is just something isolated to the University of Oklahoma. And once again, this is Rod Stevie Show, Blog Talk Radio, Toyland Productions, Toyland Entertainment. And once again, thank you each and every one of you for listening in each and every week just to see some of the topics. And we're going to continue on things about the madness. That's what we're talking about this month. It's about March. It's about madness. And we're talking about this week just how some Greek and fraternal organizations have tried to, you know, have had this incident of the privilege, of the elitism, of the feeling of they are above the institution. And the University of Oklahoma showed that these fraternities and sororities are not above the institution, that the institution is about learning and it's about creating a positive environment for learning. So once again, I applaud the president of the University of Oklahoma for taking that step, taking that bold step, and really stepping forward to making the right and positive choice of being proactive instead of reactive in this particular organization. And once again, next week we're going to continue with the madness. We're going to continue with the madness, and we're going to talk about what's going on in politics right now. We're getting to that point where the presidential candidates, the presidential nominees are going to be coming forward. So we're going to try to break down the brackets, basically the bracketology of the presidential campaigns that are coming up. So once again, I want to thank the gentleman from Montana for really expressing how he feels, for expressing, you know, just something that a lot of people are feeling on, you know, throughout all parts of the country. And that's what this show is about. So once again, thank you each and every one of you for listening to this show. Tune into Love Talk tomorrow, where we're going to continue the madness on that end as well. And we're going to talk about madness when it comes down to relationships. So, as always, thank you very much. This is Mr. Rod Stevie. And until next time, we'll talk.
Self-respect, intellect, increasing our knowledge to keep ourselves in check.
Positivity is all we need. Together we will succeed.